Well, you may have seen in the last week that the much previewed WFA guidelines for cross-media measurement have been published after a consultation period, and obviously drafts have been circulating for a while, so it doesn't necessarily contain surprises. It's been clear for a while what the advertisers want. In the UK, ISBAR is leading the Project Origin initiative, which aims to put the WFA cross-media guidelines into practice, potentially as a pilot for local market application in other countries. So in other words, if the WFA guidelines are theory, then Project Origin is about execution. So Origin was announced by Phil Smith, Director General of ISBAR, at our annual event in Prague a year ago, back in the before times. And I'm here with Phil and also with Richard Halton, who's heading up the project. Before I get into specific aspects of the initiative, given the extraordinary circumstances we all find ourselves in, how has this first year been? What's been the main focus of your first 10 months or so?
Shall I take that, Phil?
Why don't you take that, Richard?
So thanks, Richard. And as you say, it seems a long, long time ago. It's only, 10 or 11 months, and a lot's happened. I think with any project of this type, it's important to break it down into simple steps that people can engage with, and to sort of build a narrative over time. And that's the approach that we've taken. So the announcement at your conference precipitated a piece of work to gather a stakeholder group who were interested in the idea of the program, and working with the WFA to help develop the framework that's now being published. And in the UK, that meant starting to talk about standards and governance and so on and so forth. So we basically spent 6 months or so through to April, May, putting together a sort of framework for how we thought this could move forward and contributing to the WFA work. And then there's been a second phase of work, which we began in June, which has been, as I'm sure we'll come on to, engaging with the peer review of the WFA framework, and then looking at how in the UK we validate that, and engage, you know, local stakeholders to ensure that we've got a model that people feel is robust. And that's the phase of work that we're in at the moment.
Now, you've just launched a new Project Origin website, which is originmediameasurement.com, which we'll put a link to in the show notes.
Thank you for the plug.
Essentially, that features, I think that the backbone of it is two main elements, which is the advertiser North Star, which has four parts on its wish list, what they want from the process, and then four principles that should guide the measurement system itself. So it might be an idea to use those perhaps as a framework for the interview as well, in terms of, I mean, really our objective here is to enhance our audience's understanding of where you've got to, what's involved, so that at our conference in November, we can all be on the same page, so you don't have to keep reminding people of what you're trying to do and what you haven't done yet, but you're planning to do. So the North Star itself, this is the advertiser's wish list, has four elements, which are full life cycle measurement, continuous, comprehensive, and full funnel. So looking at some of those, in terms of full life cycle measurement, it's the definite aspiration to be a trading currency, not just a planning currency. Is that correct?
I'd say quite categorically no. So if you look at the if you look at that North Star, it talks about planning, reporting, and evaluation. Those be the buckets I'd be thinking about, and we very much see this as a complement to existing currencies that are used on a trading basis, rather than something that in any way seeks to undermine or replace them. Mm. Richard, I don't know whether you wanted to add to that.
Yeah, I mean, this is intended as a cross-media planning and reporting tool in the first instance. Mm. And I think the point about kind of continuous and full life cycle is about trying to create an aspiration for a comprehensive model. What you'll see in the WFA document is then some kind of pragmatism. So the advertisers have been very conscious of the fact that the North Star is asking for everything. But there have to be priorities, and our approach is to try and build a system that's architected for those broad ambitions articulated in the North Star, but to run a project that's quite focused on a simpler set of requirements for day one. And those are principally around reach and frequency and deduplication. That's the sort of starting point of the measurement ambition. But as Phil says, I think we can see hopefully in time how we end up with a good strategic relationship between Origin, which provides a cross-media planning and reporting function, with individual media trading currencies, which provide that depth and assurance for individual media.
Advertisers definitely have an aspiration to be able to ascribe value better to different media. So in that sense, you'd expect it to have some bearing on the price that they'd be prepared to pay, but it's certainly not intended to be the basis of a trading currency.
But you will be covering some elements of the ecosystem that don't actually have a trading currency at the moment, in terms of certainly the sort of social media, online video aspects of things. So
that's true. But I mean, even at the moment, we have existing JICs that are used more for planning and reporting than they are for hard trading.
True.
I think we've found the North Star really helpful in that it's focused our minds on what it is we need to be delivering. And I think when we say JICs, sometimes we confuse ourselves because they are being used for different purposes.
Yeah,
and we're very conscious of the need to preserve the stability of those that are used as a hard trading currency.
In terms of comprehensive, I sometimes get a different answer from different people involved in the process about whether this will include, but by this I mean the first stage of Origin, online display. Some people have very firmly corrected me and said, no, it's video and display. It's video and display. Is it video and display, or initially are you focusing purely on video?
It is video and display. And Richard, I don't know whether you want to add to that. If you only have to really look at the people who are in the room as stakeholders to see.
Yeah, I mean, having Ozone as part of the group has been very powerful, not just because they represent, well, video and display, but they also represent a set of news brands for whom I think this is probably true of all media owners at the moment. You know, people are looking for systems that are very simple to integrate with, offer good breadth of data and information. And so I think we're testing ourselves not just to integrate different media, but also to build a solution that works for different scales of organization. And so Ozone is great because they're sort of helping us prove out different formats and at different scales of integration.
So for our international audience, do you clarify who Ozone are?
So Ozone and Newswork, sorry, they represent the news brands in the UK. So the major newspaper groups.
Mm. In terms of full funnel, I mean, this may come into long-term aspiration versus short-term pragmatism, but outcomes is very specifically mentioned in the Advertiser North Star. Am I wrong in assuming that that's probably further down the road than your initial plans?
You're definitely right in assuming it's a bit further down the road. You know, that's certainly the aspiration, but it's not going to be in the first phase.
But again, it sort of goes back to the philosophy, which is, you know, from what we're building is a sort of technology architecture, crudely, to enable all of this. So we've had to build an architecture that we believe is scalable to deliver outcomes, albeit that, as you say, Richard, that is not probably going to be there certainly not going to be there at launch. But the issues that arise as you start to think about outcomes have to be surfaced at this point so that we build something that's future proof.
And you can certainly understand the need for that as seen by advertisers, because at one end of the spectrum you have current econometrics, and at the other you have attribution models which tend to overemphasize the impact of last touch. So a single truth set to be used for that evaluation, I think is a big identified need.
Cool. That, in terms of the what you're working on, the local market application, the again, it seems to be quartets of things. You've got the four aspects of the advertising North Star, and then the four main topic headings. I think from quite an early stage, even back at the start of the year, there was people referring to these four issues of governance, standard and metrics, privacy, and pipework, technical infrastructure. I'm not going to go through all of the subheadings on those. People can have a look on the website and get a much wider understanding. And obviously, one of the key things is a fair representation across the media ecosystem. At the moment, the only media owner listed in the steering group from sort of UK, the UK side of things, as opposed to global digital companies, is the BBC, who don't actually have advertising. It seems fairly key that you need people's server data, their log data, for the system to work. How are conversations going with the likes of ITV, Sky, Channel 4, and can this system work without their data?
So Sky are very much engaged. They're formally part of the steering group. They're very active, and I think one of the attractions for them is that, you know, we're building a system that's a blueprint for multiple markets. The ANA in the US is developing a blueprint over there, which NBCU are very engaged in. And as you know, Sky have just merged their ad business between the UK and the US. So I think Sky's involvement is very positive, because obviously they represent large part of the value chain all the way through to return path data and so on. Mm. So they're very active. You know, and we are working with Channel 4 and ITV. I think, you know, their perspective is a reasonable one, which is we're in evaluation phase at the moment. So the way we've sort of described this previously is if phase one was kind of convening the group, phase two post the WFA peer review is a real deep dive to establish whether this could work. And we're taking the tech proposal from the WFA apart, and where it's got novel elements, we're diving deep into the credibility of those methodologies. So the virtual ID model, a fusion model that sits at the heart of it, we're looking really hard at, you know, how actionable that is for the sort of data sets we're talking about. We're looking at standards and metrics for the UK and for broadcasters. And I think, you know, the commercial broadcasters are taking a, you know, proper approach, which is, okay, well, we want to be part of that conversation. We want to understand the viability of this. And, you know, we'd hope that once we're through that phase of work, you know, then they'll engage, you know, more directly and with more resource. And, you know, as you said earlier, you know, having spent most of my life working for a broadcaster and still very much in touch with a lot of people at all of those organizations, this has been, you know, such a challenging time for them on so many fronts. I think, you know, our view is if we can take the problem away for a while and interrogate it with some, you know, good touch points, some good contact points with the broadcaster community, mm-hmm. and come back to them at the end of the autumn, you know, that'd be a better moment to pick up the conversation about their formal involvement.
You know, and advertisers are certainly emphatic about their desire for the supply side to get actively engaged. So even yesterday, Mark Pritchard at the ANA's media conference issued a call for the platforms and the broadcasters to step forward and support their version of our programme.
Hmm. And in terms of that support, I guess I may be over-summarising or misunderstanding, but the two key elements are access to their server data, and also presumably the use of the virtual ID, which Richard mentioned, but just for clarification, helps with one of the other key aspects of the categories I mentioned, which is privacy, which is effectively a way of keeping respondent level data but maintaining the privacy and you know, effectively anonymizing that data, but so it can be linked together, because that's the key to this whole network, is that the virtual ID will link data from Channel 4 to data from Sky to data from Google, and therefore that's what gives you your across media. Is that effectively the two aspects of the collaboration you're looking for? The provision of the data, but also will the broadcasters have to do something with regard to virtual ID, or is it a plug and play system they don't have to actually do anything with?
So it's a two-stage, the best way to think of it is a two-stage process. So you can combine a single source panel, respondent level data, with first party data. And there's a process by which you create virtual IDs, anonymized identities that represent the whole population. And that process is sort of regularly rerun to refresh those identities. And then there's and that's something that we can manage centrally, using various data sources and having a single source panel at the heart of that, so that we have a sort of consistent total view of the UK population as a sort of yardstick for the whole system. And then the second stage is in the live environment, individual publishers and broadcasters can then see their data run against those virtual IDs, and then that's how media agencies and advertisers can deduplicate by taking data from each publisher and being able to see as virtual IDs pop up in relation to specific campaigns, they can then calculate deduplicated reach and frequency. So it has two benefits. One is it puts control very much in the hands of the publishers, who in life kind of run that model and operate it and integrate their own data. And then it has benefits from a privacy perspective, because you've got a separated system where you generate the research IDs by blind matching panel data and first party data. So there's a privacy element there. And then you have the publisher running their data anonymously against those virtual IDs. So it's been described by some of the kind of experts in the UK measurement scene who's looked at it as quite an elegant solution. But I think what we have to do now is prove that it's sort of actionable as well as elegant. It's kind of getting from theory to practice.
So governance is one of the aspects of the principles. Other than provision of the data and making sure that it's compatible with what you're doing, are you looking for anything else from the publishers in terms of funding, or is that's really what you're after, their data to feed into the system?
No, I think it's bigger than that. I mean, I think the aspiration is that we build a group around this that represents both the buy and the sell side. So one of the principles, the WFA principles, is around one of their governance principles is around representation. And this project is unique, I think, in measurement history, in the sense that advertisers are investing and funding the program. So we have buy and sell side investment. I think that's really important. I think strategically this platform will be more capable if it's driven by the needs of its users, who are going to be agencies and brands. And we would like to develop an ownership representation membership framework that includes the buy and the sell side and represents the whole ecosystem. And one also that's flexible, because clearly we're in a world where you've got major platforms responsible for huge amounts of engagement by consumers in brands that didn't exist 3 years ago. So we also, we're keen to explore a membership system that's dynamic. So that's something that we're working through at the moment. I mean, it has to be a coalition of the willing. But I think representation from both the buy and the sell side is really important.
Mm. Standard and metrics is not something you're probably relieved I'm going to dive greatly into here, the debate about duration, weighting, and viewable impressions. Some more specific
conversation
about that in November. One thing that I would like to get your opinion on is the mention in understanding metrics of contextual audience definition, which effectively means editorial content programming. Will you be measuring content, and would that be for all participants? Because I can't quite envisage a system where some participants allow their content to be measured and some don't. Surely it's either everyone measures their content or no one does.
Yeah, I mean, it's an active debate. The architecture of the system is such that content measurement can be encapsulated. It's not the first ask of the advertiser community, but actually when you talk to the media owners, of course what differentiates their media is the context in which those ads are served. And actually that's true whether you have content in the kind of more easily identifiable sense of, you know, program brands that we've all heard of, or in the relationship to the nature of the environment. I mean, Twitter being a good example. But, you know, clearly when you're talking about Twitter, the nature of that context and how you describe that is very, very different to capturing kind of program logs. So I think there's going to be degrees of importance attached to content measurement and context reporting by different media owners. And, you know, we're going to need to sort of, I think, discuss how, as the program unfolds, how important that is for different media and with the advertising community. So, I mean, that's a long way of saying it's not as simple as saying, yes, we're measuring content, because I think just the definition of content for each platform is challenging, and it's not necessarily the number one priority for advertisers, although media owners feel very strongly about it. So I think, you know, that's a good example of why having the buy and the sell side sat around the room together having this conversation is really helpful.
Yeah. So it's a difficult question rather than one that's out of scope.
Yeah. And also, I'm guessing the involvement of the BBC. I mean, they don't have advertising in the UK, at least. Presumably that's their part of their holy grail, is to be able to show their masters how they reach people across all platforms.
Yeah. Oddly enough, we had this exact conversation with them this week, and you know, one of the things that Tim has sort of staked out very early on in his tenure as Director General is that the BBC needs to have a brilliant understanding of how audiences consume media, and the BBC needs to be able to attribute the value of its content to audiences. And I think, you know, any system that extends their ability to understand the consumer, and you know, they obviously do, although they don't have advertising, they do try and reach audiences with messaging, you know, in the classic kind of media planning sense, and that is really important to them, both on their own platforms and off platform. So I think they've, you know, there's good reasons for them to engage. And in fact, some of the investments they've made over recent years, the Compass panel, which was presented at your conference last year, and you know, we've been working with the BBC on, I think could be very relevant to supporting some of the ambitions that we have for Origin.
And I think just as with standards and metrics, you know, with content and context, there are some, there are some tricky how-to questions to work through, you know, to avoid, you know, apples with pears comparisons.
You mentioned about rather neatly, you dovetail into my next question. You mentioned the BBC panel, for example, with Ipsos. We have quite a few, understandable listeners and viewers from the research agency community, and obviously their question is obviously, is there going to be some element of this we can tender for? You know, the obvious element being the panel, for example. I suspect the answer is it's too early to tell, but what is your early thinking about the source of that single source panel? I mean, there are elements to which you can build, borrow, or buy in terms of what's out there.
I think you're answering your own question.
Yeah, I was going to say.
Yeah.
I mean, they're not shy about getting in touch either, so that we thank them for that. I think the single source panel as a sort as a root of truth for the whole system is really fundamental. We think though that measurement companies can play a more strategic role than just providing panel, because there's even the more novel aspects of this involve panel integration. So we think there's value that measurement companies can add. But obviously it's a slightly different solution to the ones that they're used to, because there's a dependency on first party data from multiple sources, and also processes that will need to be operated by publishers. So this is a sort of federated model. And one of our challenges at Origin is how we integrate the various pieces and parts. And I think in a funny way, that is a bigger challenge than the provision of any single part of the system. It's the integration and the seeing data flow through those pipes. That you know, is the bit that kind of I spend more time thinking about, worrying about than any of the pieces. But to your question, yes, clearly we'll want to speak to all of the interested parties. I think there'll be two phases. I think we'll do some work initially to see if we can stand up a version of the system as a prototype, if you like, and then there'll be a kind of a more kind of formal process as we select partners for a production scale. And you can imagine we're talking to all of the various companies about what it is that we're trying to do. And just to be honest, just to help kind of continue this process of explaining how we think the system's going to work and how the pieces are coming together. And I think that story is getting a lot clearer in people's minds. I mean, in some respects, the WFA peer review process was excellent because it exposed the work to a large range of people. But I think it exposed a lot of complexity, and people had to kind of go through the curve of getting to grips with the complexity. And what we're trying to do is almost now trying to sort of simplify and say, actually, once you understand the complexity, put that in the background, this comes down to smallest number of simple elements that need to be combined and work well together. Mm. Let's interrogate each, and then off the back of that, you know, work with the right partners in each area so we have a sort of best of breed solution across each. So yeah, there's lots of conversations with lots of people across the ecosystem.
That peer review process, obviously presumably slightly hampered by moving over to being in Zoom and basically things like that. In terms of what you've learned from that, I mean, you mentioned the complexity of it, but are you fairly confident coming out of the peer review that you've got a fusion process in place that could be used to tie all this data together?
Yeah, I think, and I, you know, the WFA know our view of this. I think the peer review process was good in exposing the solution. I don't think it gave the constituencies in the UK reassurance that, or confidence that this was going to work for them. Mm. I think, you know, I think that would have been, you know, that would have been a great outcome, but probably was too ambitious. So what we're doing now is something much more kind of, you know, that's frankly taking 3 months, whereas the peer review was three or four sessions. We're taking 3 months to take each piece and interrogating it. And I think, you know, the heart of this is the virtual ID, and actually we've given that interrogation to an independent organization to look at on our behalf. Mm. And then the other piece, as you said earlier, is around standards and how we reconcile the conventions of different media. And I, you know, I think that takes time for everyone to work through, but you know, I think the pieces and parts are clear. And what we'd like to do now is work with the various parts of the ecosystem to try and build a prototype. And actually what we've said to our community, our steering group, is, you know, come and do that with us. You know, we're going to work with a range of publishers and media agencies, as well as, you know, partners in the measurement space to put that pilot together. And that pilot is as much about building confidence across the media measurement value chain. You know, everyone building confidence that this, you know, this does work.
Mm. And I think at the same time, probably one thing we haven't talked about is we should acknowledge that this isn't just about passing the baton completely to the UK for execution. You know, there will be global components to this, you know, which the UK will be a key stakeholder. So the WFA's, you know, role in this, and the role of global governance over parts of the solution, you know, will persist, and we're making sure we carry on plugging into that.
I mean, presumably you've also got channels linked to the ANA in the States, who are also investigating the American application of this. That was mentioned in last week's press release, wasn't it?
Yeah, we're seeking to work really closely with them.
Yeah, as Phil says, it's like an equilateral triangle. You know, the global components will be developed by a group that has ANA, ISBA, WFA representation. We have a kind of bilateral dialogue with the ANA. We're sort of comparing notes. And then, you know, clearly the ANA stakeholders, even on the broadcaster side, NBC, Sky, are the same. Amazon, Twitter, Snap, Facebook, Google. So by its very nature, it's a global initiative. Mm. And it's kind of one of the reasons why, you know, I think we're all quite enjoying it. And it feels very energizing and very positive for advertisers as well, who want a solution that is relatively consistent across.
Yeah, many of whom are global, you know, the biggest sponsors. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Looking forward, obviously we've talked about pilots and prototypes, and have you got a timeline in your mind for when this pilot stroke prototype will be up and running? And also, what will it look like? And I don't mean in detail, but it strikes me that in the research community, when we talk about a pilot, we talk about interviewing 10 people to see if something works. It strikes me that this is the sort of project where the prototype will be pretty close to what would be an industrial grade system that works. This isn't something you can just build in your backyard, but there's going to be quite an advanced prototype. So in terms of timing, what are you looking at, and what will the prototype look like? Is it effectively a functioning system, or a model railway version of what it might look like?
I don't think Google really do model railways. So the first hurdle is the work that we're doing at the moment, the sort of validation of are these the right components, and are we kind of aligned on the high level specifications? I mean, so I don't want to preempt that, but, you know, I think the answer, that very much the mode we're in, is let's get to something that we believe could work, even if it's not exactly what was in the technical proposal. So, you know, a bit of pragmatism around that. I think you're right. I think when you build a prototype of a system like this, you know, building something that kind of you then throw away and say, okay, now we'll do it properly, is pretty inefficient. And I think it will just be a question of different components will be stood up for the prototype in a way that, you know, is pretty robust, and they get scaled for launch. Others will be kind of more a question of trying something out and you know, having just enough. So, you know, for example, with respect to the data you flow through the system while you're piloting and prototyping, you can do that with synthetic data to prove that the pipes are all connected correctly. And if you kind of put blue dye at one end, you get blue dye out at the other. I think the stage beyond that of, you know, real life integration with real data and all the kind of, you know, issues that you hit once you have conflicting taxonomies and so on and so forth, and real life publisher systems you need to integrate with. I think that's a more challenging phase beyond the prototype and pilot. So I think it's a sort of end-to-end prototype that works with synthetic data, and then the next phase will be start to integrate, you know, real campaign data, real publishers locked into real media agency systems. So it's sort of, it's a scaling effort.
Yeah, excellent. But one final question. Obviously, we talk cross-media. This is very understandably focused on video and related display, as we've established. I'm going to ask the question boldly. I mean, there is talk that, yes, further down the road, it will include audio and outdoor and, you know, print publishing. And so is that really an aspiration, a realistic, are there conversations going on about that, or is this very much focused on the video aspect? And if you can win that war, then the idea of going into a second war, trying to actually incorporate what will be arguably even a bigger challenge, because trying to compare impressions across outdoor opportunities to see reach quarter hour reach for radio, etc., might introduce a whole load of new challenges.
Yeah, I'll preface it just to say, I think we are very much focused on video and display in this stage, but I think even within that, it throws up some sufficiently big questions that will allow us to develop the kinds of principles that will serve us well when we start to move out and look at other media. That said, I would agree. It's it's going to be interesting, to say the least, as we start to build it out.
Yeah, and there's almost three dimensions to this. There's, we talked about outcomes earlier, so there's kind of richer metrics. Mm. We've talked about a global system, so there's scaling this to other countries. And then, we're talking now about media and scaling across multiple media. And I think, this is where it's going to need to be sort of demand led in terms of, which of those dimensions the advertisers want to push on. At which rate. Then, that said, we are talking to the JICs in each of the other media. ISBA sits on many of those boards. So that conversation is ongoing. But as Phil says, we're sort of laser focused on a day one deliverable, which is around video and display.
Well, thanks for your time today. We'll be seeing you again at the event, and hopefully this video will allow people to be all at the same place, as it were, when we start the conference. We won't be testing people to make sure they have listened. There'll be three questions that prove that they actually did listen and watch the podcast. But we look forward to catching up with you again in 5 or 6 weeks' time, and exploring more generally, not just the WFA initiative, but more generally the whole challenges around cross-media and how we deliver what the advertisers are looking for. So Phil and Richard, thanks for your time.
Thanks, Richard.